Keeping with our theme of nation building this morning, an idea raised Wednesday night by President Obama, here's California's version of that nation building dream.
A truly high-speed system, rivaling the best-known systems already operating in 11 countries around the world. Traveling at speeds up to 220 miles per hour over an 800-mile route.
California's dream of a north-south bullet train to bring together the huge cities of the Pacific Rim, San Diego, Los Angeles, San Francisco, Portland, and Seattle, all cities that grew up there because of another, this one an east-west railroad, finished a century and a half ago.
All ahead of a lightning track, this old boy's gonna break my back. The old boys can't line up.
Those are actual songs from the California work camps that constructed the Transcontinental Railroad, the first mechanized iron trail to span a continent. And it was built with largely human labor. That railroad spawned a network of rail lines that now serve mostly freight companies, CSX, Burlington Northern, Southern Pacific. The passenger service that exists on the West Coast these days is about as hard work to ride on as the early railroads were to build.
We are going to San Francisco to visit with friends. We've seldom traveled by train. We're from upstate New York, and we don't go by train very often. But I don't think I've ever been anywhere looking at a train schedule where suddenly now it's 8 hours late. So, and guess what? We're not going on the train. We'll be there, but God knows when.
California sees a bullet train as opening a new historic chapter in its expansion and prosperity, and as an alternative to congested and energy-inefficient air routes. That chapter has already opened in China.
I'm right now standing on the number one platform of the newly built Wuhan railway station. About 3 minutes later, I will get on the first train of the Wuhan to Guangzhou Express Railway with 1,200 passengers to Guangzhou, a city 1,068 kilometers away from here.
The Guangzhou-Wuhan high-speed rail link in China is already 2 years old. It takes passengers between the cities at more than 300 miles per hour. And China wants to bring that rail expertise to the United States, crossing the Pacific to provide the brains and design for California's dream of a bullet train network. It wouldn't be the first time the Chinese had a hand in nation building in America.
Well, they were hired by the railroad to be laborers because most of the people who were living in California then were either gold miners or they would work for a day and have enough for a pint of whiskey and get drunk and not come back the next day or whatever. And the Chinese reputedly had some expertise in building tunnels, and they were steady, reliable employees.
That's Don Davis of the Truckee Donner Railroad Society in California talking about how the Chinese built the original railroads a century and a half ago as laborers, not designers. Alistair Lighthead, a reporter with our partner, the BBC, investigated this cross-cultural reversal for a series called Power of Asia. Don Davis explains the dangers of working along California's railroads back then for just $30 a month.
Well, this is the tunnel, and you can see the water dripping down. It's coming through the rocks. They would drill down, fill it up with black powder, and then light a fuse and blow it off and then take the rubble away. And that's why the walls are so rough, as they were just blasted.
Richard White, a history professor at Stanford University, says that if the Chinese bid to build a modern 21st century bullet train in California succeeds, it'd represent a complete swinging of the pendulum.
If this happens, which sometimes I have grave doubts about, it would be an almost total reversal from 150 years ago. Because what you had then is it was American capital, American technology, and cheap Chinese labor. The way they're talking about building it now will be American labor laying the tracks, but they're talking about making heavy investments in Chinese technology and even trying to get inputs of Chinese capital. So what you have had is one side of the Pacific is as if the Pacific has suddenly switched over in 150 years.
Stanford professor Richard White, courtesy of our partners, the BBC, who helped prepare that story. Joining us now is Brian Leung, an associate professor of creative writing at University of Louisville. He's the author of Take Me Home, a book about Chinese-American laborers in the 19th century. Brian, good morning.
Good morning.
So there's a huge irony here. The Gilded Age in the United States financed the building of the railroads in the U.S., and built largely by Chinese-American or Chinese laborers, who some of whom became Chinese-Americans. And now you have China's Gilded Age offering to build a 21st century network of high-speed rail using American laborers. What do you think of that?
Well, one thing that strikes me is the huge difference in the governments involved in the period of which my book is written. You know, Imperial China was pretty much on its last legs, and it wasn't itself looking to reach out into the world. In fact, it was afraid of the world. And then in this new era, China really has established itself for, regardless of what our political feelings are about it, as a fairly stable government, stable enough that they have a railway ministry that's pushing the very project that you're speaking of on your program today.
You know, there's also, and if you read closely your book, Take Me Home, there's a sense implicit of a certain kind of cultural comeuppance here, given the abuses that were common in the building of the Transcontinental Railroad that you write about. The idea that the Chinese would come over here and finance and hire the labor for a 21st century train really takes us back to what it was like 150 years ago.
Well, I think that if this project takes hold, there are going to be lots of interesting discussions about what labor pool is going to be exploited in the building this time. That's for sure. Especially if you have any railway that goes across any of the states like Arizona, Texas, through California.
Sure. So, I mean, in a sense, possibly, the equivalent of the Chinese workers back then would be immigrants from Latin America, possibly. Although this will require skilled manufacturing workers to pull this off, if it even happens. Remind us of what Chinese Americans did for $30 a month, and that's a high wage 150 years ago.
Right. Well, the book of my novel takes place in the coal camps, which was post building of the railroads after the railroad closed. But I will mention a couple anecdotes about the Chinese coming from the West Coast. One is when they were crossing one of the reasons why they were a valuable labor pool is when they were crossing the mountains in California, the high mountains in California, they actually dug tunnels into the snow because the snow there is multiple feet deep, and they lay track under the snow, which was something that other laborers wouldn't do. And they also fashioned baskets out of reeds taken from the marshes on the California coast, and they got in these baskets and lowered them themselves down cliff sides to place the charges to blow away so they could lay track against the cliffs.
Wow.
And they demonstrated that kind of ingenuity, which was something that really helped the West Coast push to the railway go as fast as it did.
Part of the nation-building story 150 years ago that might be repeated in our era if a bullet train is constructed in China. Brian Leung, thanks so much. He's Associate Professor of Creative Writing at the University of Louisville. Brian, thanks a lot.
Have a good morning.
So for more on America's transportation systems, visit our project, Transportation Nation. That's at transportationnation.org. And if you were nation-building America, as President Obama suggested on Wednesday, would you spend it on high-speed rail? Would you spend it on health care? Would you spend it on infrastructure?
Calling from Miami, Florida, I wanted to say that if I had $10 billion a month over the next 10 years, I would definitely improve the public transportation system of the southeastern United States, especially in Miami-Dade County, Broward, and West Palm Beach.
$10 billion a month. That's what the war in Afghanistan is costing. The president says, let's do nation building at home. If you had that kind of cash, give us your idea. No shortage of ideas. We may be short on cash, but we got ideas. We're starting a new Nation Building Our Country series. We want to add you to our conversation. To-do list, 877-8-MY-TAKE with your ideas. I'm John Huckenberry. Celeste Headlee out for the next few days. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.